The sanctuary does look nice, doesn't it? It does. I don't know if you're decorating at home or not, and if you are, if you're done or even begun, I'm afraid my stuff's still in the closet. We'll stand here for a little while. But that's what we do. We prepare ourselves for the holidays by giving ourselves lists of things to do, but mostly trying to make it a special time for those that we care so much about. And one of the ways we do that is to take our home, however grand or simple we might think it is, and decorate it. Do something special for the holidays. And so many of us, I look at that lovely picture up there, so many of us do what, well, our grandmothers, I suppose, used to do for us and make sure that the kitchen always smells of freshly baked cookies during this month. Even those of us who don't bake cookies the rest of the year will find excuses in the next 4 weeks to bake some cookies. If only for the smell. Even if we can't eat the calories, if only for the smell in the kitchen, because it makes it feel, doesn't it? Makes it feel like Christmas. Makes it, and not just that, it makes it feel like home. That's what home smells like, at least in December. And that's what home looks like this month. And in the coming weeks, I hope that your home is not only filled with decorations and aromas of cookies baking, but people that you love, that you like to spend time with. But I know that for some of us, there will be people who cannot be there. Home will not be quite right. No matter how much we decorate, no matter how many dozens and dozens and dozens of cookies we bake, no matter how early or late we get our shopping lists done, it won't quite feel right. I have a confession for you. For those who can come to be at home this time of year, they will come and they will be happy to see the decorations and to smell the wonderful aromas out of the kitchen and to taste those cookies. But it might not feel right for them either. That's the irony, if you'd like, or the hard part about this season. Because this is a season of Advent, which is a time of joy and hope and expectation and the realization that things aren't quite right, are they? Deep down, we know there are things that are not quite right. And no matter what we do, no matter how perfectly and completely we clean our homes and decorate our homes and no matter what wonderful spread we put out on Christmas, there'll still be stuff that's not quite right. Even as we celebrate the joy and the hope and the light of this season. And I thought, as long as we're going to talk about home this Advent and Christmas season, we'd listen to what Jesus had to say about home. And the sad thing is, Jesus didn't have a good thing to say about his home. Because his home did not feel like home. For Jesus, it truly could be said, as you've probably heard, and maybe it's been said to you a time or two, you can't go home again. Jesus couldn't go home again. And it's not just because Mary and Joseph kept moving around. He couldn't go home again because when he went home, and tell me if this sounds familiar, when he went home, he started teaching. And the people in the room, in the synagogue, they didn't see 30-year-old Jesus who'd gone and studied and learned and argued and asked questions of the most learned priests in the temple. They didn't see Jesus, who'd gone around and been curing blind people and helping the lame to walk. They saw teenage Jesus. They saw the carpenter's son. He used to be around his dad while his dad was doing work and getting in the way. They saw his mama's boy, who was kind of weird when he was growing up. They saw the brother of James and Simon, and there are four brothers listed. And those sisters that have stayed in the community and married others and now have families of their own, they didn't see adult Jesus. And they certainly didn't see the Son of God. They saw a kid who'd gone away from home, and they'd heard all these weird stories about him. Well, the weird stories sort of made sense because he'd always been a weird kid. And now he came back and he started sharing what he'd shared all around Galilee, and they're like, where in the world does he get this stuff? You ever gone home? Gone to a reunion? Have you ever gone to a school or a family reunion? And people you haven't seen in 20 years, I love this comment. The first thing they say to you is, you haven't changed a bit. You still look and act just like you did when you were 15. Man, it's good to see you. But it's not just at school reunions. It happens when we go to our parents' and our grandparents' house. And Aunt Jean and Uncle Bob, they see us once a year. And we may be 30 or 40 or 50 or even older, but they still remember when we were in diapers. And they treat us like we're 10. Right? Because no matter what we do, no matter what degrees we get, no matter what jobs we have, no matter if we've got kids and even grandkids of our own, for some reason, even though they're close to us, even though they're related to us, they can't see it. They can't see who we've become. More to the point, they can't see who we really are. And they treat us like who we were, or at least who they thought we were 10 and 20 and 30 and 40 and even 50 years ago. That's what's happening to Jesus when he goes back home. He's become a noted teacher, but not just a teacher, a healer. He's been healing people. He's been doing works that you and I can only imagine. And he comes in, and they don't see any of it. They've heard the stories. The grown man, not just a grown man, the Son of God himself stands in front of them, and they don't see him. They don't see him for who he really is. They still think he's that slightly obnoxious, know-it-all kid from 20 years ago. And Jesus certainly does not feel at home. But more to the point, Jesus feels like he can't do any good for any of these people that he grew up around and that he loves and that he knows better than anyone else. Because they won't accept him for who he is. And I'm not just saying they won't accept him as the Son of God. They won't even accept him as a teacher. They won't even accept him as a healer. The saddest verse in this story, let me read it again. The saddest verse in this story for me is the last one. I brought it down so I could read it again. The saddest verse for me in this story is the last one. Not the one that's most memorable. Prophets are without honor except in their own country and in their own house. That's sad, but it's the next verse that gets me. And Jesus did not do many deeds of power there because of their unbelief. Because they couldn't accept him for who he was, even a little bit. I mean, they didn't have to say, my Lord and my God. They didn't have to say, God with us, or the Messiah. They couldn't even say, healer. They couldn't even say, teacher. And God on earth couldn't do anything for them. Standing as close to him as I am standing to you right now. He couldn't go home. And the reason he couldn't go home is not because he had gone away and wouldn't come back. He couldn't go home because the people, when he got there, couldn't open their eyes and couldn't accept him for who he had become. And it seems to me that's one of our challenges this holiday season. Both as people who have changed in the last 10 and 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years, whether we look like we used to or not. We have changed a bit. Maybe a big bit. And there is a part of all of us, whether we are 8 years old or 88 years old or anywhere in between, that wants the people that we have known the longest to look at us and see us for who we are today, not for who we were 40 years ago. There is a part of us that wants people to accept us as an adult, maybe with mistakes that we have made, but at least with the adult mistakes that we have made, rather than just remembering us for all the stupid things we did when we were 7 or 17. There's a part of us that wants that. And there's a part of everyone around us that wants that too. This holiday season, we will be surrounded by family and friends. And they want those same things that I've just said that we want. They want us to look at them and see them for who they are today. Because if we don't, it'll just be like Jesus going home and all those people not being able to appreciate the gifts that he could offer as the Son of God, as this miraculous healer, as this wise teacher. If we don't see the gifts of the people around us, they won't be able to benefit us. They won't be able to share the best of themselves with those they love the most, because we won't let them. Because we'll still treat them like ornery kids. And if that's what we experience and that's what they experience, we'll all come away by December 28th a little more disgruntled, a little more cynical, and a little more confident in that phrase, well, you can't go home again. But if that's how we feel personally, my hunch is that's how God sees this world at this time of year too. I have no doubt that God loves the decorations inside and out that we hang, and loves the special music, the beautiful music that we share this time of year. Absolutely. And the extra worship services we go to. No question. But even with all of that, there's something not quite right. There's something missing. Because even those of us who are most faithful struggle to appreciate who God really is when God's in our midst. And how much more so for those who are less faithful? How much more do they struggle to appreciate who God really is and what God really offers and wants to share with those that he loves the most? You and me. I I don't want this to be too depressing of a sermon. I hope it's not. I know it's a depressing subject, but I don't want it to be too depressing of a sermon, because this is a season of hope and joy, but it's also a season of expectation. An expectation based on frustration and loss and doubt and pain. The expectation is that the frustrations we feel now are not the way that God wants it to be, and ultimately are not the way that God will make sure that it is. Just as the people 2,000 years ago were waiting for a Messiah to break the cycle of sin and offer a better way forward with God's help, which is to say, just as 2,000 years ago people were waiting for Jesus Christ to come the first time, so today you and I are waiting for Jesus to come back the second time to finish what God started. Not just to clean up the mess, but to make it right. To make it so that you and I and every other living, breathing soul on this earth feels at home. And God feels at home together. A place where, as Isaiah says somewhere, not just that the lion will lie down with the lamb, but more practically, where you and I will see each other as we really are, and will appreciate each other for who we really are, and will love one another and be blessed by one another, by who we really are, with the passions and the eccentricities and the screwball personalities that we each have in some ways, that God gave us, that God carefully and wonderfully knit into our very being while we were being formed in our mother's wombs. That is home. And that is the home we're all looking for, I think. And it's the home that God is looking for all of us too. So our challenge and our possibility this Advent season is to celebrate again the coming of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the hope and the joy and the peace and the love of God brought into the world. That is no small thing. But when we feel anxious or disappointed, it's also to recognize it's not perfect yet. And no amount of decorating or beautiful music or perfect shopping lists or 800 dozen cookies or dragging everybody into the same small house and making 80 people sleep where only 4 should. No amount of that is going to make it perfect. It may be close sometimes. Jesus did not come to leave us without hope or without pointing the way forward. But it won't be perfect. It won't be complete. Not yet. And in these weeks leading up to Christmas, it's important for us to remember that. Not just to celebrate the joy, but to remember it's not done yet. And as Americans, particularly, that's hard for us to do. Because we want it now, our way, immediately. And if not, we want to talk to the manager. And if the manager doesn't please us, we want to talk to his boss, and then her boss, and then her boss, and then his boss, all the way up, because I've been standing here for 10 minutes, and I want what I want. This season reminds us we can't always get what we want, at least not right away. But rest assured, what we're getting isn't exactly what God wants either. Some of it is, but not all of it. Fair enough? Fair enough. Next week, we'll talk about memories at Christmas. A little more fuzzy, a little more sentimental, probably a lot more happier. But still true to this season and all of its many emotions that we'll all go through these next few weeks. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.